Welcome to Postcards to the Universe with Melissa Caprio. Do you believe in magic? What if you were told that all you had to do was get a little creative and work a magic spell to bring anything you can imagine into your life? Here on Postcards to the Universe, we will share manifesting, tips, postcards, creativity, abundance, and prosperity. Here is your host, Melissa Caprio.
Hey everyone, and welcome to Postcards to the Universe with Melissa, creating the life you crave. It's Wednesday. Love Wednesdays because I love doing my show. I talk to the most interesting people. I hope you guys are doing well this Wednesday. Today I have a really interesting guest. She is a tarot high priestess and author, Lisa Robertson, and we're going to be talking mostly about her book today called A Year of Angel Guidance, An Introduction to 12 New Guardians. It's really cool. I have the book right here in front of me as we're doing the show, so we're going to talk about that in just a few moments. A big shout out to all my regulars who listen weekly and send me messages. Thank you so much. I love that you come and join me each week. For those of you who have found my show for the first time, I want to give you a big warm welcome. Thank you for being here with me. I always have interesting guests that I like to talk to each week, so hopefully you'll keep coming back. A little bit about me, if this is the first time you're ever hearing me. I am an artist, I'm a photographer, I'm an author, and I also have a book, and it's titled Postcards to the Universe, Harness the Universe's Power and Manifest Your Dreams. And in my book, there are 30 manifesting stories along with photographs. I took all the photos in the book of the contributors manifesting postcards, and I include writing exercises, and it helps us all get clear on what it is we want to manifest, because we're not always really sure exactly what it is. We just know that there's a certain feeling we want, like more joy, happiness, abundance. So it helps us get clear in that area. And there's also a toolbox full of fun exercises on how to manifest, you know, the big ones, which are love, money, health, career, so much more. We always want more abundance in those areas, don't we? So if you're interested in doing the inner work exercises and the writing exercises and reading people's incredible journeys of transformation, manifesting, and inspiration, please go to your favorite bookstore or online and purchase a copy. And I'm also asking, and I ask each week, for people to send me a manifesting postcard, which is kind of like a mini vision board. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, you can find that out on my website, postcardstotheuniverse.com, and it tells you how to create a manifesting postcard and also where to send it when you create it. And if you like Facebook and you like to be a part of cool Facebook groups, I have one called Postcards of Love, and we share funny and uplifting stuff, so come and join me over there. So each week I share I call it a magical message, and I post it on all my social media, and it's an image of a manifesting postcard that I photograph with an affirmation. I love affirmations. I focus on them a lot. I think they're very powerful to use daily for it's becoming a new belief in our lives. And this week's magical message is discover loving you. So what does loving you mean? And self-love, right? It's about self-love. And self-love is an unshakable belief in our own worthiness. Without self-love, we always feel that we're not good enough, no matter how much we accomplish or how others in our lives love us. And by not providing ourselves with self-love, we subconsciously sabotage ourselves. We feel terrible inside, and we feel disconnected from the people and things that matter most in our life. And when we learn to love ourselves, we become more compassionate and grateful for who we are. Many people mistake loving ourselves as having a big ego or being stuck up or becoming narcissistic, and that's not what it is. Our family and friends and truthfully everyone benefits from our ability to love ourselves, because when we are self-loving, it doesn't mean that we see ourselves as better than anyone else, right? Rather, it gives us the ability to help change the world in positive ways through love and compassion. And by learning to love ourselves, we discover the inherent value we have to offer others. We give others love and support and to help build their confidence because we have already discovered how to give it to ourselves first. And that's really important. So why is self-love and worthiness such an issue? Some of us can't let go of past mistakes that we've made and we carry guilt. Maybe it was messages that we received growing up. I believe comparing ourselves to others, especially their accomplishments, is not self-loving, feeling that we don't deserve what it is we want. And that's just to name a few. So it's time to go on a journey and discover how to love yourself. Imagine how someone who loves you in a healthy way would treat you and do that. Or do what you do for the people that you love and turn it inward and do and say all those things to yourself. I've talked about this before and I'll mention it again. Do mirror work every day, like Louise Hay always preached and practiced. And look into your own eyes and tell that person looking back at you how important she is and how much you love her or him. Do it for 30 days straight and see how you feel. You will start to feel the shift. It really, really works. And that is how we discover loving ourselves, just one way. And so I just wanted to share that with you guys. Okay, so next week I have Dana Sardano. She's the owner, resident, and artist and intuitive. And Sardano has authored several books, all centered around personal growth and wellness. So we're going to be talking to her next week about some of her books, and it's going to be a really interesting show. But today's show is really cool. Like I said, I have the book right here in front of me. Lisa Robertson is the Tarot High Priestess Personified. I love that tagline. The leading disruptive visionary of creative consciousness, bridging the world of the arcana and mundane. She believes humanity stands on the precipice of evolutionary expansion. The leading edge of human expression is at our fingertips, and all we have to do is leap. The next frontier is not the space outside of us, but the space within us. In her book, A Year of Angel Guidance, An Introduction to 12 New Guardians, readers enjoy a daily dose of divine medicine with this book's inspiring messages sent by the angelic realm's unsung heroes. Each guardian is the focus of a full calendar month, bringing you day-by-day guidance based on that angel's theme. This year-long devotional introduces you to lesser-known angels who want to assist with everyday concerns and show you the path to peace and abundance. In addition to daily lessons that help you navigate the human experience, this book offers a prayer of connection and a closing ceremony for each month that deepens your angelic practice. And for more information, you can look at the website. If you can, while you're listening, go to lisarobertsonwrites.com, and I'm going to spell that www.lisa, L-E-E-Z-A, Robertson, R-O-B-E-R-T-S-O-N, writes, W-R-I-T-E-S.com. Welcome, Lisa. Thanks so much for joining me today. I'm excited to talk to you.
Thanks so much for having me.
I really, really enjoy the book. It's right here. So, why don't you share with us a little bit about yourself and what inspired you to write this book in particular, A Year of Angel Guidance?
Right. Well, this particular book, it was interesting because I've been working with angels for a long time now. And I had my very first angel encounter in, 2009. And it is one of those things where through my own wanting to know more and wanting to connect deeper, I really wanted something that gave me some practical exercises, some practical mm-hmm. tips, some day-to-day guidance, with the different angels. And you know, I just couldn't find it. I literally couldn't find it. And I went off and I started working in tarot for a while because I'm really reluctant when it comes to the angels. I've got a very complicated background. Having grown up Catholic, I rejected the angels for a very long time. So when I came back around to getting ready to really commit to bringing their stories and their teachings to people who also are working outside of religious practices, I knew that one day I was going to write a book that was more centered around day-to-day life and practicalities of using our guides and their guidance for our experience. So that's how this book came about.
Yeah, that's interesting. But I have to ask, since you said it, you had your first angel encounter approximately 2009. What happened? Like, what was that like? What were you doing?
Well, I was walking into my kitchen and I saw 12 angels making sandwiches. It was an interesting period in my life. So I actually thought like I was having a psychotic breakdown. And I was like, well, that's it. I've finally snapped. Like, this is it. I'm done. I had a look at this going on and I just turned around and I walked back down the hallway. And, as I was heading away from my kitchen, Archangel Uriel, it stuck his head around the corner and said, "Hey, we need to talk."
Oh my God. That's amazing. Do they look like we imagine them looking, like the pictures we've seen, the paintings and the is it look like that for you anyway?
I think for me, no. Okay. And I think that's what's really interesting about working with our guides in particular, whether it's angels or not, they do come to us in a form that is friendly and familiar. So they are shapeshifters in many ways. So if you have more leanings to traditional angel iconography, absolutely. Like Archangel Michael comes to me often dressed as a pirate. So,
that is a new one that I have not heard. I love that. Well, I have a Catholic background too. I mean, I'm not a practicing Catholic officially, but I am. So I imagine, especially the archangels, very much how I was taught who they are as a young Catholic girl. That's how I picture them.
Yeah. So it's kind of interesting. I used to do a lot of angel circles and because I think I've been able to channel the angels for a while now, and I would do these channelings and at the end of them, I would often ask people, so how did the angel present for you? Like if you're a visual person and you get this energy in a visual nature, what did you see? And it was so interesting because in a room full of, 60 or 70 people, everyone would get something different. And that's the thing that always fascinated me about working with our guides, is how varied that interpretation is, but also how limited sometimes the teachings can be, because we do cling to images and iconography and descriptions that may not be how they're presenting themselves to you, and you're thinking, oh, I'm not doing this right, or this is bad, this is evil, I've conjured something different, but that's not true. So yeah, if you get a pirate as an angel, cool, like right on, like that's exactly how they're presenting to you. You're doing it right.
So a pirate, why do you suppose he shows up as a pirate for you? Like, is there something about pirates and your background, family history that makes that, when he shows up for you and you see him like that, you're like, oh, that makes sense.
Oh God, no, nothing about that makes sense.
Okay.
But that was kind of the point, because was so anti anything that was connected to the church, and I did not want anything to do with religious dogma. So my angels tend to be really jokey and funny and probably, you know, they would how they show up to me would probably horrify other people. But that's how they had to build a relationship so that I could drop my resistance and step in to do the work that they wanted me to do for them.
So when they're standing in your kitchen, and you said it was Archangel Uriel who popped his head around the corner and said, "We have to talk." Right. That's what you obviously you come back in and you sit down and they have things that they want to tell you, or like what was the story from there? I have to find out.
Well, so actually, you're the first person to ask me. So, what sandwiches were they making? Like everyone goes, "Wow, they were making sandwiches. What sandwiches were they making?" I don't know. I thought I was losing my mind. I really wasn't paying that much attention to what kind of sandwiches they were making. Well, it was more of a yes, you're really seeing this. Mm-hmm. We've got work to do, but we understand we have to get you there. Type stuff. That was kind of the conversation. So, I mean, it wasn't anything deeply profound.
Okay. Were you asking for guidance? And like in preceding this event, was there a lot of you asking for guidance for them to show up for you?
No, not in the slightest.
Not in the slightest. It's really interesting because for people listening, you know, there's so many people that, you know, are praying and begging and asking for guidance, you know, and maybe, and I'm sure they are receiving it and maybe they're not seeing it. So I just was curious, like if you had been asking and then all of a sudden one day they just show up for you. There's so much more. And we're going to talk about these lesser known angels and how you channel them. And I just looked at the clock and we're at our first break. So let's take our break here and then let's talk about these angels specifically for this book. Stay tuned, everybody. We'll be back in just a couple minutes. Hi, I'm Melissa Caprio from Postcards to the Universe, creating the life you crave. Do you believe in magic? What if I told you all you had to do was get a little creative and work a dream spell to bring anything you can imagine into your life? Well, guess what? I've got the spell for you. Postcards to the Universe, a global movement for manifestation, is a casting magical tool for you to use whenever you want. How does living in passion sound to you? Join me in my movement where you get to create in the magical playground. Let's think outside the box and do some playful conjuring. By casting out our desires with a manifesting postcard, we explore our hearts and allow the alchemy of our dreams to appear. And don't forget to tune in each week here on Om Times Radio with my show, Postcards to the Universe, Creating the Life You Crave at 4 p.m. Eastern Time. I share tips on creativity, abundance, and prosperity, and you will be introduced to the coolest guests, trailblazers, mystics, and creatives who enrich our lives. Hey everyone, welcome back. If you're just joining me today, I have author Lisa Robertson on, and we're talking about her book, A Year of Angel Guidance, An Introduction to 12 New Guardians. So Lisa, the angels for the book are lesser known angels. And how did you discover these particular angels that you share in the book? Did you channel them?
So one of the things that I often do when I sit down to either design a tarot deck or write a book is once I kind of know what kind of topic I'm going to do, is I do sit in meditation for a while and I ask for, you know, the energy to step forward. So who's going to step forward for this book? You know, what kind of material is going to be in this book? And we kind of have this really big vibrational, spiritual board meeting. So these were the angels that stepped forward, and they were the ones who believed in their mind had the information that was relevant for where we are right now in our evolutionary journey as you know, human beings.
Okay. That makes sense. So you would get, somebody would step forward and you would hear a name. Or would you see them also like you had the original experience, or was this a little different?
Sometimes, like some of these angels I had actually met, and I talk about where I met these ones and how I came mm-hmm. across them. And some of them were actually new even to me. Like they were just coming forward and helping me with this book or helping me at the time. So it was a collection of some that I worked with, some that I knew of, and some that were new. Mm-hmm. But yes, I mean, I do see them. I'm a very visual person. It is kind of like they're in the room with me.
That's cool. I love that. I love that. So the book, the way she laid the book out, it's you know, each month is represented by a different angel, and they have a message for the month. But then there's also, on top of that, daily messages for us. So you can look up any date you want and see what the message is. And that was given to you by the angels and how they wanted you to lay it out?
I had this idea to write a book, and I don't know why, because actually this was one of the hardest books I think I've ever written. As I said, I wanted something that was more day-to-day and it was more practical, and I hadn't seen anything specifically for working with angelic energy that was like this. So I knew that this is how I wanted the format of the book to be, which again, when I asked for which guardian angels wanted to be part of this book, they also had to understand this is the format and how we were going to lay this out, and they had to have these little exercises or messages that we could slot in to the book. So I always knew, like from the get-go, that it was going to be a message a day type book.
And is that why you call it your daily dose of angelic medicine? Is that where that came from?
Mm-hmm. That's the marketing team at Llewellyn. I actually didn't give the book a name.
It is, though. It's angelic medicine. So, right. So you're getting a little snippet for the day, but like I said, there's a theme for the month. So do you think that we should briefly mention, just so people understand what we're talking about, like the name of the angels and maybe what they represent for each month? Do you want to do that?
Well, I think we could do you want to dive into today? Like, that would be a great example.
Yes. I love that.
Because I think it's kind of relevant because as we are recording this, we are in March. Mm-hmm. And the angel for March is Willow. And this is the month of manifestation. Mm. So it's, you know, and we are, if we even look at the astrology for where we are here in March 2023, we just had this big full moon that was all about miracles and changing. Mm-hmm. Saturn's just changed signs. So it's interesting that I drafted this book 2 years ago, not knowing what was going to happen like this year. Mm. But like March is also a change. We have the spring equinox in the Northern Hemisphere. We have the autumn equinox in the Southern Hemisphere. So there's a lot of manifesting energy in March. There's a lot of things that we can get really deep with here with guardian angel Willow. So that's one of, you know, so we have this whole monthly energy that's tied into seasons, astrology, and all that good stuff. And then if we flick to the day, and I know I should know what day it is. What is it?
It's the eighth. Yes. And this is true because many of us that work on manifesting who like listen to my show regularly, you know, want to manifest, we do have a tendency because you say, have you ever been tempted to dig up your seeds and check on them, right? And it's like we do that, right? Instead of just saying, okay, I planted my seeds and then just move on with your life and take care of the things you need to take care of. We're like digging it back up. Has it happened yet? Is it sprouting? Is it growing? I think we all do that.
Right. So each of these little daily prompts are either reminders, guidance, or sometimes there's like strategic little exercises to do for that day for the vortex of energy that we're in. So while we're doing the manifesting journey, there's certain things we want to do with it. If we were to say skip ahead to say September, where we're working with Sylvania, the angel of transition, then there'd be different prompts and guidance and exercises based on this whole concept of, so what is a transition? What types mm-hmm. of energy are we in when we're in a transition? This chapter actually was a really great chapter for me to write, the chapter of transitions. I learned a lot about energy leaks. I learned a lot about how we begin a cycle and end a cycle, how we move from one task to the next task. So, you know, there's so many little bits and pieces of relevant information that we just can grab onto and, you know, go, oh, yeah, I'll just keep that in my mind today. And that will either increase the flow or drop our anxiety or just tap us in and tune us in to some of the subtle frequencies that are floating around in our day-to-day experience. They get lost, right? They get lost when we're out and about.
Well, also in her book, she has a connection prayer that brings in the energy for the particular month. So since we're using March, because we're in March, bringing in the energy of the angel of manifestation, you have a whole prayer for calling in Willow. And I have to tell you personally, Willow is one of my favorite names. It has a very magical association for me, and one of my favorite cats, who unfortunately we lost last year, I named her Willow. So when I saw that Willow was associated with manifestation, and me, I'm all about, that's all I talk about is manifestation in my book, I was like, oh, it's so perfect. And I had no idea that about an angelic being called Willow, and it's associated with manifestation. So when I saw it, it gave me like goosebumps. I was like, oh my God, I definitely have to connect with Willow, the angel of manifestation, on a regular basis, not just March, but for me on a regular basis. So I just loved it. I love that. And that you happen to show up in March. You happen to be on my guest list in March. So you know, there's no coincidences. So I think that's perfect.
Yeah, the opening and closing prayers were really important to me because I do a lot of energy work and I do a lot of ritual and ceremony. And it's important that when we are working with energy, regardless of whether it's, you know, Reiki or spell casting or connecting with our guides, that we officially open a channel or open a passage or open a door where we're having this flow, because energy can't flow if there's no opening.
Right.
So being able to open this this channel for this energy, regardless of which one we're working on, was really important, just as it's important to close it, because we don't want to have these energy leaks at the end of each month where our focus is split, our energy is scattered, our mind can't concentrate. So we want to make sure that we're doing our energy practices, our connection practices, in a very ritualistic but practical way. We're opening and closing, opening and closing, and keeping that energy as concentrated and pure as possible.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And I really like that you have check-ins in the middle of the in the month. You have a couple check-ins. So you ask us to see where we're at, what we're doing, you know, what we're thinking, what we're feeling, which is really, really nice, you know, because sometimes we forget to check in with ourselves, like what's going on. So each month you have the little check-ins in the middle of the month with whatever you're working on for what particular energy you're tapping into for the month. And I like also, it makes sense the way you laid out the book. And I just want to mention this for everybody listening. You don't have to start the book on January 1st, right? Because I think you even mentioned that in the book. Like it doesn't have to be, it's not like you just bought a calendar and you have to start on January 1st. You can start wherever you are. It could be towards the end of this year, because this isn't, this you could use each year, each day to tap into the energy that you want to work with for that month. Correct?
Exactly. And it could be that, like, you know, you remember to pick the book up in April, but then life gets busy and you can't come back to it till September.
Right.
But you've got this kind of beautiful guidebook, this beautiful connection, this portal to your, you know, everyday guardian angels always sitting here waiting for you when you're ready to come and do the work with them. So it is one of those kind of timeless books. And again, that was deliberate on my behalf because, you know, that's how I kind of work with my guides. Like when I have a gap in my schedule, I will go back into my spiritual practice. I will do a lot of cleansing, clearing and healing work on myself and tap back in, you know, refresh my creative energy and fill my well back up. And then I'll go off again. So I won't have the same amount of time. So as I said, I hadn't seen anything in the marketplace that gave this level of detail and flexibility. So in many respects, I kind of wrote it for me, but I'm really happy other people like it too.
Yeah, right. And you start with in chapter one, you talk about the realm of the guardians. What is that? What is the realm of the guardians? And what is that? What's your interpretation of that?
Well, it was interesting because when I finally had the 12 angels and we had decided that, you know, this was the way, this was the content that was going in the book, I kind of asked them, so what do you want to be known as?
Right.
So how do you want to introduce this to the world? Like, how do you want to, like, introduce yourself to the world? And they kind of chatted amongst themselves a little bit and they're like, we want to sound like superheroes. I'm like, okay, like, you know, it's your stick. You can be whatever you want. They're like, what about the realm of guardians?
Why not? It does kind of sound like a superhero movie. It really does. Yeah, that makes sense. And each month, so you start with, and they sort of do follow each other, which is nice. So you start with, I'll just read them because I have them in front of me. So January, doorways, February, illumination, and it makes sense the way it's laid out. March is manifestation, and then we have growth, and then movement, and then transmutation, and then play, passion. And you mentioned September's transitions, gratitude as we're wrapping up, reflection, and then darkness is how we end in December. And then we can start all over again, which I thought makes really a lot of sense if you follow, you know, whatever it is you're working on in your own energy moving forward in your life. And did they lay that out for you a certain way? Or was, you know, were they like, okay, I want to be movement. And this one said, I'm growth. Like, how did that happen?
Yeah. So I mapped out how I wanted the content to flow. Because as I said, I do a lot of ritual and ceremony myself. So I wanted something that seemed natural and worked with the cycles of the year. And and when I wrote it, I was like, I know this is feeling very Northern Hemisphere-ish, but you could reverse it if you wanted to. So I kind of also, like, you know, you don't have to work with darkness in December if you don't want to, if winter is actually in the middle of the year, which is what it is in the Southern Hemisphere, then you could work with darkness in July, right? Like, so you could mix that up and switch it around if you wanted to.
Yeah, that makes sense. See, we forget. I mean, you're from originally Australia, so you are much more aware of that than us in the Northern Hemisphere, that this is the only experience we've ever had, right? We always associate winter in, you know, December and the end of the year, but it's really summer in December in Australia, so it's totally different. That makes a lot of sense. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. But I love, though, what each month represents as far as the energy behind it. You know, like, it makes sense that after manifestation would be growth, wherever that falls, whatever hemisphere you're in. That makes a lot of sense to me, right? We put out our manifestation and then we were going to be working with letting our manifestation grow.
Right. Exactly. So there is some sequential stuff in there. Like, even if you didn't use the calendar, you know, just this whole thing of you've got to open a door and follow a new path. You've got to see the light. You've got to have the light, right? So, like, this was my inner gardener kind of working too.
Yeah, like, that makes a lot of sense.
What, what happens in the outdoors? And again, this is part of the ritualistic part of this. If we turn to nature, mm-hmm. because the guardians are very earth-based, right? They deal mm-hmm. with our everyday life. Our everyday life is very much dictated by the natural world that we live in. So what happens in that world, and how does it connect to us on a subconscious level and an emotional level where it's influencing us even if we're not aware of it? And a lot of these themes are flowing through our day-to-day experience, even if consciously we're not really thinking about it, because we're just in the environmental aspect of getting up and it's dark at 4 p.m. at not, you know, getting up and it's dark or getting up and it's light, and all of those seasonal and natural shifts. So there's all of these different layers that go on throughout the year and even through our day that this kind of work just taps us back into and kind of lets us know we're not alone. Mm-hmm. We're all having a similar experience. We're not isolated. We're not islands. We're all connected to the natural world, and we're all connected to the spiritual world. The guardians are here for everyone. They're not just picking some people and not others. Everything that we can see and have an experience of with our six senses is available mm-hmm. to everybody. And this kind of work plugs us back into that.
Makes so much sense. Oh my goodness. Oh geez, we gotta take our second break. Let's take it here and we'll talk more about that when we come back. Stay tuned, everybody. Be right back. Welcome back. So Lisa, I was thinking during the break, and I don't really want to say, do you have a favorite? Because I don't think that's the right word, but is there one of the angels that you connected with maybe more than the others?
Not so much. Okay. I think because each one I immersed myself in completely. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to be a little detached from bias.
Mm-hmm. Understandable.
Because otherwise I think like we can become resistant to the teachings. So no, not necessarily. I think they're all really quite fun to work with. They're fun to be around, and they have some really good words of advice for everyone.
For everyone, yeah. So I imagine there are probably thousands and thousands of angels that we're just not aware of, right? People connect with different angels. Like you said, these are guardians that many of us have never heard of before. This came through you. So how, for the layperson who's listening and has never done any of this kind of work, never even thought about trying to connect to some of their guardians and angels, like what could we do to kind of open ourselves up to maybe start getting some messages from our angels that have things that they want us to know?
Yeah, I encourage everyone to try and connect with their own personal angels mm-hmm. all the time. And I think one of the easiest things to do is some automatic writing. And one of the quickest ways, and here's where you have to like clear your doubt though, like don't question the message. Mm-hmm. Like I don't care if you think it's coming from your imagination, just roll with it. I don't care if you think it's coming from your ego, just roll with it. So get a blank piece of paper and write a question at the top of the page, but make it very clear and concise. Don't make it a complicated question. Make it a question that can give a very quick and concise reply to. And then once you've written that question, by that I mean don't ask like 25 questions in one question. Because some people do that. Like, will I get this? And will it then do this?
Right.
And will this
right.
happen? And will this person come back? And how will that be? No. Like one thing. Just ask one thing. Right. What would be, you know, what should I be on the lookout for today? Mm-hmm. What would be something that could challenge me today? What would something that would be fun today? Like really short, concise, clear questions. Write that at the top of the page and then just place your hand on your heart and take a couple of breaths And then just allow an answer to bubble up. Don't question it. You don't need to know where it comes from. It doesn't matter where it comes from. And then write the answer down. And do this for a couple of days until you get into this rhythm and flow. And then if you want to know if this is coming from a specific angel, you can then ask, what is your name? What is your name? Dear angel, what is your name? And then if you want to know like more about them, you can. You can say, what type of angel are you? Because there's so many different types of angels. And then, you know, you can start to build that relationship over time. But like all relationships, you have to put a little bit of work into it. Like it doesn't just click. Like you can't just like walk up to someone in the street and, you know, just expect them to instantly be your best friend. There's a little bit of work involved with connecting with our guides. And it's just like if they're a real person, if you were building a new relationship with a real person, what would you do? Because that same thing applies here.
Yeah, that's a good. That's actually a really good idea. I've done automatic writing before. You'd be surprised what messages come through if you stick with it for a while. That's a really good tip for us who maybe want to talk, you know, intimately with our own angels, right? And get some answers to some questions we have. Do you think that, in your personal opinion, do you think angels have ever been human and then became angels, or do you think they've always been from that angelic realm and they were never human?
My understanding of my conversations with the angels is that they have never taken physical form. In fact, they're very jealous of humans in that respect, that they don't get to experience what we experience, that they are vibrational beings from a different band of consciousness. So that's kind of my belief just through my conversations with them.
I always wonder if like angels will like jump in a human body or show up as a human form to help people in certain situations. Do you think that happens? That they like, or they'll, you know, you'll think you're talking to a human, but really it's an angel, and then it's just like because they were needed for a certain circumstance?
I think for me, my personal belief is the angels nudge that person into your life at that particular time, or sent them an insight or an impulse, and they just showed up and they're like, I don't even know why I'm here. I feel like they can nudge and move us as opposed to do something that is against our personal human will, because that's not really what they do. They're not here to interfere. They're not here to take away our free will. They're here to guide and expand and give us space to play and love and connect.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes a lot of sense. And I always wonder, too, do animals have their own set of angels, you think?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, without a shadow of a doubt.
Yeah, sometimes I think animals themselves are angels, right? Just because they can be just so wonderful in your life and they're so loving unconditionally, just like you imagine your guardian angel would be, right? Loves you unconditionally.
I actually think it's hard for humans to understand what unconditional love is.
Oh, yes,
and
definitely.
I feel like part of our journey, part of the lesson of humanity is to understand that we could be loved just for existing without doing anything else. That love is not a reward. Love's not given to some and not others. Mm-hmm. And humans have a really complicated relationship with love.
That's true. Well, just look at how your dog is, and then you'll know. That's what it looks like, right? Because your dog loves you unconditionally. Dogs are just, that's how they are. They just love you no matter what. So that's a good way to see what it looks like in physical form, if you can't imagine it. I want to talk a little bit about, because I, you know, we're kind of coming up to the end of the show pretty shortly, and you have some other books and you have some beautiful decks. So you want to talk a little bit about your other books and your decks that you have available?
So I've got a lot. Is there
anything you do? You do. So how about, I guess is this one of your newer, your books before this one? Raise Your Vibration with the Archangels, your angel number book.
That was about three or four books ago. Yes.
Yeah. And you also have books about helping us learn how to work with the tarot, which I love.
Exactly. So like my latest books, I started in tarot. So I've got four tarot decks that are currently on the marketplace. I have four more in production as we speak. And I have quite a lot of tarot books. Now, I do have two tarot books that are probably relevant if you are looking to do more spiritual work and connecting more with energy. And those would be Tarot Priestess, which is one of my newer tarot books. And that really is a devotional book, and I'm tapping into goddess work and ritual and ceremony. And then I have Tarot Healer, which is actually a dedicated chakra book. So how to use tarot for chakra work and Reiki healing and energy healing. And then, of course, the book that came out just before the Year of Angel Guidance is the Book of Mermaid Magic. And that is also a chakra book. It's dedicated to the moon cycles. I created a pantheon for mermaids. So anyone who feels a connection to the water and the moon and healing, that's a book for you.
And you have the Mermaid Tarot also that I thought was
exactly.
They look beautiful. And I love your Cirque de Tarot cards. Like they're just so beautiful. I love them. And then you have your Soul Cats Tarot. So for those of you like me, who I don't even know how to read the tarot. I learned recently a few years ago to read the Lenormand cards, which I find fascinating. But I don't really know how to read the tarot, but I just still love collecting cards and decks. I love having them and holding them and flipping them and feeling them and the energy of them. But you have really beautiful cards. When do you have time to create all this? You must be like writing and creating every day.
I am, and I have been for years.
Yeah. What's your newest deck? What's the most recent deck that you released?
The most recent, well, actually, Cirque and Soul Cats came out a month apart.
Oh,
so
my
they're
God.
Pretty close to, yeah, they were pretty close together. Then that just happened because we had all that shipping mess after COVID. So Cirque got stuck.
Okay.
In the ports for like 4 months, which put it really behind release schedule. So those two came out very close together.
Now, do you get them? Are those channeled to you also?
Yes and no. So like I do sit down again and I try and create a very specific vortex of energy and a bubble of energy. And then I let that bubble up. But I actually do have both a graduate and postgraduate degree in fine art and fine art history. So like composition and imagery and visual literacy is something that I'm actually academically trained in. So that helps a lot when it comes to designing the cards and the images and how I want the symbolism and the light to play off them, and being able to give those directions then to the artist so the artist can then create these beautiful miniature masterpieces.
I love decks and cards. There's something about them. That's why people like them so much. So I imagine, like, since it's tarot, are you going by the traditional tarot for each deck? But then since it's themed, for Soul Cats compared to Cirque de Tarot, are you using the traditional Rider-Waite kind of concept and then shifting it a little to go with that theme of how you imagined it visually?
So all the decks that Llewellyn do are Rider Waite-Smith based. Mm-hmm. So okay. we have to find a way to tell that story through whatever theme we are creating. And okay. to me, that's like one of the greatest things to do as a storyteller is to go, okay, so we already have a story and now we have to find a way to tell this story from a new lens. So that's always exciting to me when I sit down and do a new deck. Now, one of the decks that's coming out next year, I want to say maybe at the end of next year, is actually an angel deck that is going to be able to work with both of the angel books that I've written.
Yeah, well, it makes sense because when I was looking at all the cards you have and then I have the book, I'm like, oh, I imagine a deck is coming out basically very much on this book because it just seems like, I mean, it kind of like a no-brainer, like it really kind of should, you know, like the people can like see what message they get for the day, you know, if they're going through the cards, what's jumping out at them, you know, so it makes total sense. Wow, we are at the, we're like done. I can't believe it. I still had more stuff I wanted to ask you. Oh my God, I love talking to you. It was so interesting. Thank you, Lisa, so much for being here with me today. And you guys, you can check out all her stuff at lisarobertsonwrites.com. Anything you want to mention before I do my outro that I missed?
If anyone wants any more information, you can, by all means, just connect with me on social media, The Lisa Robertson. You can find me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Love it. Thank you so much, Lisa. You have a beautiful book, beautiful cards. I loved it. Okay, guys, thanks for listening to Postcards to the Universe with Melissa, Creating the Life You Crave. And I'm wishing everyone a wonderful week filled with joy, abundance, and love. Peace.